Invite you to turn in your copies of God's Word to 2 Chronicles chapter 9, beginning in verse 29. We'll be looking at this past year I've had the privilege of preaching through first and most of 2 Chronicles in Trinity, Wichita. And I thought it would be helpful for us, since I'm here this Lord's Day evening, and we'll be back again, Lord willing, in 2 weeks, to do just a short series looking twice at the life of Rehoboam. And so, again, 2 Chronicles chapter 9, beginning of verse 29, just to get the context here, the death of Solomon, and then all of chapter 10. What a great privilege we have. When we come to God's Word, we are coming to that which is true, that which is reliable. And so hear now the very word of God. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, from first to last, are they not written in the book, in the history of Nathan the prophet, and in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, and in the visions of Iddo the seer concerning Jeroboam the son of Nebat? Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years, and Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his place. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And as soon as Jeroboam the son of Nebat heard of it, for he was in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon, then Jeroboam returned from Egypt, and they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all Israel came and said to Rehoboam, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you." He said to them, "Come to me again in 3 days." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" And they said to him, "If you will speak good to this people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, "What do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, 'Lighten the yoke that your father put on us'?" And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, "Thus you shall speak to the people who said to you, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us.' Thus shall you say to them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king said, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered them harshly. And forsaking the counsel of the old men, King Rehoboam spoke to them according to the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about by God, that the Lord might fulfill his word, which he spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, "What portion have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Each of you to your tents, O Israel. Look now to your own house, David." So all Israel went to their tents, but Rehoboam reigned over the people of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, who was taskmaster over the forced labor, and the people of Israel stoned him to death with stones. And King Rehoboam quickly mounted his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. And so Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Let's pray as we've receive this word. Lord God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak, and Lord, who would speak back to you? Lord, who would correct you? Who would tell you something you do not know? Lord, your word is that which is full, sufficient. Your word here is that which we need to hear this evening. So, Lord, give us abundantly of your Spirit. Give us ears to hear and hearts to believe. Give us hands and feet to obey. Lord, that you would be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want you to imagine with me a situation where there's a need for change in leadership. I imagine that's maybe not hard to imagine, as we as a nation have recently undergone the inauguration of a new administration. And this congregation, you have just recently had your pastor resign. It's probably very easy for you to think of what might be on the minds of those who are undergoing a transition in power, a change of authority, a change of people who are leading. Well, friends, that's the situation that we find here in this passage. We have a nation that is undergoing a change in leadership. Solomon has been leading, and yet here we have this new ruler to follow him, and it instructs us. It instructs us in far more than politics. It instructs us in how we are to lead, if we are so called. It instructs us in how we are to follow. How are we to lead, for instance, not just the church or a nation, but how are we to lead our families? And how is the church itself to be led? How ought we to consider complaints of those whom we lead? How ought we to receive counsel? And which counsel ought we to follow? These are all in this passage for us this evening. And so I want you to hear the main point as we look at this passage, and it's this. Lead by listening to the King of Wisdom. Lead by listening to the King of Wisdom. Now again, as we come to this passage, we are at a transition. We are at the end of an era, you might say. The big question as we come to chapter 10 is, how do you fill Solomon's shoes? Friends, do we not feel this way when someone who has been a leader, a rock in our lives, is gone? We feel their absence. We no longer have their counsel, their wise words, their leadership, their company. Friends, how much greater here? Solomon was blessed by God with wisdom. He wrote most of the book of Proverbs. He was placed on the throne by God himself. He built the temple. He ruled for 40 years. Friends, we feel battered as a nation, considering when there's a transition that happens every 4 years or every 8 years. Imagine the stability that would suddenly be upended if we had rulers that had led for decades. And the chronicler has been focusing on David and on Solomon, and using them as pictures for a king that was to come. Friends, Solomon showed the people of Israel, showed those exiles that were reading their own history, that we need a king. When there was no king, the men did what was right in their own eyes, and that was not good. The king's rule brought wisdom, brought expansion, brought completed building projects that the world marveled at. And now, though, his absence is felt. Prince Solomon could not reign forever. And this reminds us in itself that no mere man does. Consider, children, when God calls home your Christian parents. I've had to tell my congregation in Wichita that pastors don't last forever. Transitions happen. We lose wise leaders as we live in this world, and that's not to say they were perfect. It's not to put them on a pedestal, but it's just a fact that we love them. They minister to us. They're so good in God's hands when they are godly. But even they cannot last forever. And that points us to, of course, the one that does last forever, even King Jesus, and how our hearts were really made for his eternal leadership. And friends, of course, even as good as Solomon was, he wasn't perfect. That's some of the background to the situation we find ourselves in this passage with Jeroboam. Jeroboam kind of just appears on this page, and if you were reading through Chronicles, you might wonder who this Jeroboam guy is. Well, you actually have to turn back to 1 Kings 11 to find out a bit of his history, and it's actually there that you not only find a bit more about Jeroboam, but you also get a bit more of the picture of Solomon's reign. Because yes, Solomon was not perfect, even though he was the wisest man on earth. Solomon had his faults. We're told back in 1 Kings 11, he had foreign wives, particularly that his heart was led astray. Young people, I want to remind you that if you marry an unbeliever, if you are unequally yoked as Solomon was, don't be surprised that your love for him or her will be at odds with your love for God. Don't give lip service that you love God, but don't take seriously his warnings about whom you should keep company, including that special relationship of marriage. And as judgment on Solomon for marrying unbelievers, God raised up adversaries. We read in that chapter in 1 Kings. Hadad the Edomite, Rezin of Eliada, and perhaps those are not as familiar, but then after them is listed Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the one we read of here. Jeroboam was a very able man. And Solomon, wise as he was, promoted him. Eventually, Jeroboam was in charge of all the forced labor in the largest northern tribes. And God even sent a prophet to Jeroboam to tell him that he was going to take 10 tribes from David's house and give them to Jeroboam. God had said this. And Solomon, wanting to preserve his own throne, seeing this threat to his own power, sought to put Jeroboam to death. And Jeroboam went to live in exile in Egypt until Solomon's death, as we read of here in verse 2. And so it's here at this point, now that Solomon is dead, that Jeroboam returns to Israel. And this man who had charge over Solomon's forced labor, what does he lead them to bewail? Verse 4, that Solomon made our yoke heavy. Now this raises a question, did Solomon really lay a heavy burden on these people? Or are they just rebels? Is Jeroboam a liberator or an insurrectionist? This is an important question. There are many today who are promoting a narrative of oppression. And while we should hate oppression as Christians, we dare not assume that everyone, especially non-Christians, are seeing things plainly and telling the truth or even understand what true oppression is. However, I think in the case of Solomon, I think they had a legitimate complaint. I say that guardedly because 2 Chronicles 8 verse 9 tells us explicitly that Solomon did not make slaves of the Israelites. He didn't take his own people and enslave them. And yet it also tells us in the record here and also in the other record in 1 Kings that he did force them to be soldiers. He did make many of them officers. And in order to complete the grand projects that he undertook, he did make many of them do work that kept them from their home for months at a time. Like I said already, and we've already noted, Solomon was not perfect. There was oppression, even during his reign, and that only broadened the cracks that were already there between the tribes. You see, Solomon, even with his imperfections, was a man who was wise enough to somehow keep this country together. And yet even he wrote, Proverbs 29:14, if a king faithfully judges the poor, his throne will be established forever. And I think part of why he wrote that is that he knew the contrapositive. He knew that leaving oppression in his realm would lead to God's removal of part of his kingdom, as he himself knew that God had promised to Jeroboam. Friends, how we need to remember and learn from this. No human besides Jesus will reign forever. No human besides Jesus is perfect in his reign. Solomon's yoke was burdensome, even oppressive. Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. We can't look back at a golden age in the past. We must look to a perfect reign a reign which has begun with Jesus ascended to heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father, and yet whose full manifestation of his reign is yet future. And so Solomon's reign was, death was the end of an era, and it left cracks in society. And so the question concerning Solomon's replacement, his son Rehoboam, is, will the king listen? So you have Jeroboam, you've got this adversarial figure, and he gives a voice to the people to ask that oppression cease. Now what's amazing here is that they seem sincere in this. If Rehoboam lightens the hard service and heavy yoke, what do they say? They say, we will serve you. They're offering their continued service to him if he will listen to their request. And he begins by following a wise route. He says, verse 5, come to me again in 3 days. Friends, it's a good thing. It's a wise thing to give time to consider big decisions. My father had the practice of not buying something expensive unless he could sleep on it. And that wasn't only when he was buying beds. If he had a big decision to make regarding a job or a business agreement, especially if you are have a decision before you, choosing a spouse, choosing where you're going to go to college, where you're going to live, what you're going to do, take time to make your decision. And so far, so good for Rehoboam. He took time. And then verse 6, then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive. Rehoboam took counsel. He didn't just wait for people to give their opinion. He sought them out, or at least he had them in his court so that they could give him counsel. He received input. It is good to seek counsel. This is wise. In fact, time and again, his father tells us in the Proverbs that this is wise. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counselors there is safety. Or Proverbs 15:22, without counsel plans fail, but with many advisors they succeed. Or Proverbs 24:6, for by wise guidance you can wage war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. So do you seek counsel when you make decisions? Now, I'm not talking about doing a quick Google search, because any fool can write something that ranks in a search engine. He got counsel. And notice who this counsel is from. It is from the old men. The footnote reminds us that these could be called elders. It's not just that they're old, they're mature. They have more experience than this young, new king. And chiefly, we are told, these are the men who had stood before Solomon while he was yet alive. They had been there to see Solomon's wisdom on display. Now, this reminds us that not all elderly persons are wise. Now, these men, though, have the credentials that in Solomon, that Solomon had them in his court. Friends, that tells us actually something about wisdom. Solomon was the wisest man on earth, and yet he had people advising him. These were those that had been advising him during that time, but they'd also seen Solomon's wisdom and had internalized that themselves. They saw and learned from his wisdom. And once again, Solomon is remembered here in this book of Chronicles as one who prefigured Christ. Solomon, as wise as he was a picture of Christ, who is the very wisdom of God. It wouldn't be just Rehoboam turning away from the wisdom of his father. I mean, that would be one thing. This is actually turning away from the wisdom of Christ. Friends, do you seek the counsel of those that will point you to what Christ would have you do? Do you seek the wisdom of Christ? Do you listen to those who have been trained and sent by Christ? First of all, the apostles, whose words we read in our New Testament. And yet Christ has been pleased not only to give us his word and not only to give us his spirit, but to give examples to the flock. Will you seek the counsel of those whom he has appointed to be your elders, who will give an account for your soul? Friends, I'm sad to say it, but we live in an age where people do not live wisely. And part of that is that they do not seek counsel that Christ has freely provided to his people. Rehoboam didn't. The fool wouldn't listen. You see, these wise older men counseled Rehoboam to humble himself before his people and to speak good to them. That is good things. That is things that would be good promises to them, that was what they were asking for. And to be sure, what they're counseling him is not technically hard. It's not hard to say humble words. Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. Except if you are proud. If you are proud, you'll not only say Jesus' ways are hard, you won't even try them. Rehoboam immediately looks elsewhere. Now, I'm sure Rehoboam would convince himself that he's still being wise. I mean, if there's safety in an abundance of counselors, well, what's wrong with seeking more counselors than those who knew my father and learned from his wisdom and are more mature than me? Have you ever begun talking to yourself in that way? I'm going to seek more counselors, but that's just because I didn't like what I first heard. And friends, whose counsel does he now seek? We read it is the young men who had grown up with him. He sought counsel of people just like him, who would want to believe the same things he wants to believe, who want to accomplish the same things he wants to accomplish. Now think about these young men surrounding him. Will these young men understand the plight of working men? No. These are sons who grew up in a king's court. They've probably never known a day of hunger. They probably never broke in a sweat, working hard, back-breaking labor. And so what is Rehoboam seeking? Well, we have a word for it today, don't we? An echo chamber. He's seeking an echo chamber. He is finding people who are already seeing the world as he does, who share his blind spots. Are there people to whom you gravitate because they so easily understand you and they're coming from basically the same position? Well, so, no surprise, their answer appealed to him. It appealed to him because it's probably what he himself already wanted to do. How easy it is to see the foolishness of this fool. How hard it is for us to see in our own lives when we do the same exact thing. Have you ever had a decision before you and you looked until you found the first piece of information or the first person to cite that supported what you wanted to do anyway? Well, if that's what we do, we're actually not listening to counsel at all. We're just listening to ourselves. And dear ones, need I remind you that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So the counsel of his peers appealed to his pride. Verse 10, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. He's saying his pinky, the smallest of his fingers, is bigger, stronger than the thickest part of his father's legs. Children, look, hold up your pinky and look at your leg there on the pew in front of you. He's saying, I'm bigger than dad. He's saying, I'm bigger than Solomon. What a fool. It's like instead of saying he has big shoes to fill after such a grand king as Solomon, he's saying his father never really measured up to him. This is pride of the highest order. This answer actually proves that he is far inferior to his father. His father, even with the imperfections, as we've already discussed this evening, his father knew how to keep the people working. His father knew how to keep a nation united, even though there may have been cracks. Friends, his father looked at people with understanding. And so his peers appealed to his pride and his desire to prove himself. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. Rehoboam is a man who feels he has to prove himself against his father. And yet that's the great irony, isn't it? He can't escape his father. Everything has to do with overcoming his shadow. Even though Solomon is dead and in the grave, His ghost haunts every sentence of this passage. So Rehoboam answers harshly, and Solomon could even tell you, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Rehoboam abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him, verse 8, verse 13, forsaking the counsel of the old men. But again, what is he abandoning, congregation? He's abandoning the counsel that his father would have given him. He's abandoning the counsel that would be the counsel of the King of Wisdom, who at that time was the clearest picture of Christ. When we turn aside from the wise counsel that God has provided to us, when we turn aside from that, we are doing the same. We are rejecting Christ, who is the King of Wisdom. And yet, dear ones, this wasn't just a fool's act that led him to his own foolish downfall. No, a king's foolishness affects more than himself. The whole kingdom suffers because of this. Beware, fathers, your foolishness will make your children suffer. Mothers, too. If you are in a place of leadership, your wisdom, your following Christ is all the more crucial. And so what happens as a result of this is that the northern 10 tribes turn from Rehoboam. They reject the house of David. That is the house from which Christ would come, the house that was meant to point to Christ. They departed from God's temple in Jerusalem. They even killed the king's servant, Hadoram, verse 18. Friends, this is not a light and momentary thing. This is a rift that continued even to the day of the exiles. The northern kingdom went into exile, and essentially they never came out of it. Only a few from the kingdom of Israel returned, and they dwelt in Jerusalem among the others. The book of Chronicles doesn't tell their story because they rejected David's son. They walked away from the promises concerning Christ to come. And so the message to those hearing this book of Chronicles, the message to those returning from exile was this: don't be foolish. Don't turn from God's wise ways. Humble yourselves and receive counsel from the older, the wiser, the better, especially if you are to lead others. We should have as our leaders those who have a track record of listening to good counsel, of putting it in practice, being faithful to listen. Friends, we should pray for those who lead us that they would be listeners, and we ourselves should listen to them and not rebel against King Jesus as he would lead us by them. This is extremely serious. A little folly outweighs wisdom and honor like a tiny fly that makes a stench in the ointment. Foolishness divides the nation. If I dare say it, foolishness can destroy a church. But by wisdom it will stand. And so are you a wise man or a wise woman? Do you seek out good counsel? Do you know how to restrain yourself from your own tendencies, whether to pride or to turn aside to this or to that? Have you escaped the echo chamber of people who are just like you? Do you surround yourself instead with those who are godly, who know biblical wisdom, who won't tickle your ears, who won't tell you what you want to hear, even though it feels like a delicious morsel when it goes down? No, who will tell you like it is, even though it be hard to hear? And if you have heard the wise counsel Christ has for you, will you do it? It may seem impossible when we actually understand what Jesus wants us to do. It seems impossible. But Jesus' yoke always seems burdensome to those who refuse to bear it. But if you trust him, if you hear in his words, like if you are the lame man being told, rise, take up your bed and walk, yes, that's impossible, but who's speaking? Friends, in his power, you can obey. In his power, his yoke is easy and his burden is light to those who humble themselves, who believe in him. Jesus alone can humble our hearts from being proud like Rehoboam. In fact, we're naturally like Rehoboam. But Jesus alone can give us a new heart. Jesus alone can make us to follow his counsel and to lead us to life eternal. Friends, ask Jesus. Ask him to humble you. Ask him to help you to see the wisdom of wise counsel. Help him to see yourself as I'm the pinky finger. He is the strong leg. I need him. I need his counsel. I need his wisdom. I need the counselors he sends in my life. For it is only when the gospel breaks us down and the Spirit opens our eyes that we see how terrible of kings we would be. But how a great king and glorious king he is as he leads us and reigns over us and triumphs over all of his foes. And so I call you, dear ones, to lead by following the King of wisdom. Let's pray. Lord, we see a lot of Rehoboams in the world, in our nation, and all too often, Lord, in our own hearts. Lord, thank you that King Jesus is not like this fool. Thank you that you, King Jesus, have equipped your people with wise counsel. You have given us even the very word, your word, and you've given us those who instruct us, counsel us. We thank you as children for our godly parents. We thank you as disciples for those who are discipling us. Lord, give us humility to hear. Lord, forgive us where we have hardened our hearts and not. And Lord, be glorified. Lord, that you would lead your church. Lord, that you would reign, King Jesus. And that your reign would be seen over all the earth. A glorious reign. A reign of wisdom. So do this, and so be glorified, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.